Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Bless you all. Welcome. I'm glad you came to the watch of the Lord to worship the living God. It is important you realize that you are anointed, and that God has destiny over each of you and purpose. God wants to bless you tonight even. He's a God of blessing. And this is a special season. So I'm glad you were able to come tonight. I wish people would come and watch and pray each Friday here, because we are a blessed people. Especially in the United States of America, the freedom we have, the abundance that we enjoy, the special grace that God has given us to be a blessing to others. We are not only blessed, but Abraham's unique blessing was that God told him, I'm going to bless you, and out of you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So our aim, and may the Lord make you come into more fullness and anointing so that you go from blessing to blessing. We believe our God supplies each and every one of your needs tonight, and that there is something, there's a trigger point. And as we worship tonight, continue in a moment. It was amazing. It was wonderful. As we start, we just went into a place of glory that I could just see angels all around worshiping with us tonight. So just know that there is a supernatural air here, and there is a supernatural grace that God, there is a plus. And there is an invisible that you don't see, but sometimes the Lord will open your eyes and you will see. We've had all kinds of manifestations, and we are praying that may the Lord be welcome to manifest in each and every way his grace and graciousness. At the same time, as we go into, that is the ultimate purpose that God has made us for, is to worship the living God. So you are fulfilling part of your calling as you just stand up and raise your hands and voice saying, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I honor you, Lord. I bow before you and I worship you. So that is your fulfilling. But at this time, I'm glad you turned up. This is a prophetic night. The Jews, believing Jews, Jewish, there are congregations and synagogues that are all, this is a very special night for them. And we believe and we honor our Hebraic roots of faith. Jesus himself said salvation is of the Jews. So we can learn from them. We can get an impartation. And he who blesses Israel will bless us. And of course, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. And Jesus is our Lamb of sacrifice. By his stripes, we are healed. And even tonight, healing is here by the stripes of Jesus. But he was Jewish. Remember that. And so people sometimes can, not in a wrong way, but can have questions and say, why do we recognize and pray for Israel? But our Messiah is Jewish. His background is Jewish. So just, I mean, and he said, Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me. So these are all multiple factors that influence us, and we want to take every blessing. There are many people who need special prayers and special miracles and breakthroughs. They write to us, and pastors contact us. Even tonight, I can't share, don't have time to share about all the requests out there, but we are worshiping and praising the Lord and then praying for special blessing on people who have special needs. We special send our love and blessings on Sister Ada, one of our founding members. That is, she has had a little surgery today, and she came out safe and sound, praise God. And so we send blessing from the watch to our wonderful Sister Ada. And may the Lord bring her out 100% and heal her, and the recovery be swift. So, and at the end of our session here, we'll lay hands on people, and then we want to go back into this wonderful song and dance. And I want you to be able to do what David did in the book of Psalms. It says, in Samuel, 2 Samuel, David danced before the Lord with all his might. We're going to bless and dance, and it'll please the Lord. So, but this is we are preparing for Sunday. We'll be entering in the Jewish festival of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. So this is where it's based on the Bible, but where God created Adam and Eve. And among the things that this is where it's mentioned in Leviticus, we can look at Leviticus 23:24. Let's, if you want to turn in your Bible, Leviticus 23, verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. That means it's a special Sabbath, but you shall offer an offering made by the fire unto the Lord. So God also, by the way, we don't want to, it's offering is important to the Lord. So we don't want to be shy about saying, this is, we're going to take an offering, because this is, we are able to finance the house of prayer, the house of where the watch of the Lord has been practiced. This ministry has been leading the nations. In many ways, we founded the watch and started spreading it around the world. So there are hundreds and hundreds of watches in almost every nation on earth right now. Because of your example in this place, it's amazing. When we first started, I look back and I said, how did that happen? But it is, there are watchmen who have been faithful to watch and pray for their country, for their nation, and for Israel, for revival, restoration. I want to tell you that God answers prayer, and part of it is the miracle. And we need to, the big picture and then the smaller picture. The big picture is the nation and the nations. And watchmen, God has appointed us as watchmen on the walls. We pray And God has called us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then he says, may they prosper who love thee. So keep, don't get impatient. Stay in line, because you're going to have, God will just dump a lot of blessings and miracles and healings. So we believe in miracles. Say, we believe in miracles. Amen. And we are believing each of you to have a special breakthrough and a special miracle, and that there will be, as we exalt the name of the Lord and exalt and focus on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is standing by our side. So this Friday, Sabbath, on the synagogues, there'll be a lot of people are preparing for Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, they call it. So it is for the agricultural year. People are getting to go plant things and harvest and all of that stuff, get ready for the harvest. So it's the beginning. Here the Lord says, in the first day of the month shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. So this, and 10 days later will be the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. That's the holiest day. This, though, is the beginnings. We are celebrating, like we say, on January 1st, we'll all be saying, Happy New Year at midnight. That's fine for us in our culture, but according to the Hebrew calendar, that which they celebrate on Rosh Hashanah, Sunday evening till Monday evening will be that on the Jewish calendar, the beginning of the year. So, and it's number 557-80, the Jewish New Year. And it means the 80 is the number in the Hebrew tradition. The letter and the number symbolize certain things. So this part, what the Lord is impressing upon me, the prophetic impressions, that this is the number 80, 5780, that we are entering into. And this is it, and in fact, it's introducing a decade, the 80s in the Jewish calendar. So this is, according to the art, this is timed from the time of Adam. And then certain time when Abraham, okay, when he was born. And so there are a lot of things that we get our signals, prophetic signals from this. And the letter Pei, it's 80, Pei. And so 5780 prophetically means the year of the anointed mouth. It's about what you speak. And I believe God is taking us to the next level of anointing and glory, and that what we declare is going to be very important. How you use your mouth to bless and, number one, exalt the Lord, and number two, bless others. That there will be, God is giving, promoting us to the next level of declaration, and that we are going to declaring especially a special commitment to declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are coming this weekend. So here, today, we are ushering in Rosh Hashanah. Say Rosh Hashanah. So, and then 10 days from then, it'll be Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And that's the most holiest day of the Jewish calendar. and they will all be fasting. By the way, that on the 1973, there was that season has ended, but for the first 50 to 60 years, 50 years, Israel, the restored Israel, has been in constant war. The Arab nations got together and had a special vendetta. They would declare war every few years on Israel, and there would usually be an alliance. From the 50s, it was usually Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan would join in wars against Israel. And so just something to humorous somewhat observation. I've got a strange sense of humor. But they decided in 1973, I believe, that's what it was, that now is the time to declare another time. They did it in 1967. That's the Six-Day War. And Jerusalem became an official possession of Israel during the time. And then 1973, they upped again and said, this is a great idea. We're going to attack them on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when every person, adult in Israel, will be fasting and praying. And if you're going to attack someone, you don't want to do it when they are fasting and they are praying to the Lord. God himself takes charge of protecting them. And so he did, and defeated all the aggressive nations. So all of this kind of fresh. So in my mind, and because we are just coming back late Saturday evening, a week ago, we came back from spending 2 weeks approximately in Israel. And Michael was with me. Michael, you there? Yeah. And you got an impartation already. I mean, I feel like God taking you to the next level. It's like in your DNA, God put in some more extra juice, the Jewish juice. And I felt like doing a Jewish dance at the music here tonight. The worship, awesome. Will you give them a big clap, will you? So Rosh Hashanah means the Day of Trumpets. So it's a celebration here. It says it will be a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. This was a special day. This is the shofar, and it meant a lot of things. It meant, behold, the king is coming. It meant, watch out, get your swords ready. The enemy or some violent army is trying to attack us and attack our children. Take up your swords. Or the day is holy. Or we declare victory over the enemies. So, Rosh Hashanah, 5780. This is the Jewish New Year that we are ushering in tonight with our praise and our worship. And this would be a good weekend to set aside as a special give to the work of the Lord in offerings, tithes, offerings. Because God himself says, bring an offering. Let it be an offering unto the Lord. There are especially this next few days. This is also the Feast of Trumpets. And we are going to be celebrating all of it and get all the benefits from the Lord. He has made promises about each of these high holidays that I'm going to bless you here and all that. And it's in the Bible. And so this is the head of the year. And part of it is that the Lord will give us victory over our enemies. That the blowing of the shofar was a declaration of victory. And the king is entering in because he has defeated the enemy. The armies of darkness are defeated. There are darkness armies, demonic forces that try to attack us. And there are seasons that they choose to attack. For I don't know how many of you remember, but there was a plague. I had to pray often in this very church. It was 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But there was a plague of anorexia. Do you remember that? And we would, because we are known for deliverance, there would be people who would fly from all across the United States, because usually this would hit, it was like a plague, a demonic attack on 16, 17-year-old girls, that there was just a mental oppression. It would come on. How many of you remember the Carpenters, the singer, the Carpenters? And Karen Carpenter got attacked. Now here, she was one of the most famous singers. She had one of the most awesome voices, just a gift of God. And she could sing. I mean, she was a frail singer, she and her brother. And then suddenly she got oppressed. And there was be a demonic thing, a voice that would speak over this. They were usually some of the smartest girls and just the sweetest, gentlest girls. And the devil would attack them. So that, and I did a lot of ministry to them because they would come here because they heard they would get delivered. But they would look in the mirror and they were literally starving themselves. So there were bones now. There were just, there was no flesh. It was like bone. And they would have starved themselves month after month, and you would say, you're killing yourself. The parents would, and they would say, no, I'm fat. And they would look at the mirror, and I mean, now some of the counseling, I would hear them, so look at me, I am fat. And you would, that girl was starving. And, and praise God, a lot of them got delivered when we prayed for them. So it was a demonic oppression. As far as I'm approaching it from a pastoral, spirit-filled observation of our experience. Now, a doctor would say something else, of course. They knew that it would affect, after a while, if you starve yourself. It affects your heart. And then the heart gives up if it has no more food. So anyway, but it was a spiritual force, a darkness. So there are different seasons that these attacks can come. So there are dark powers. And that's why, by the way, as you see how it works, people, especially the church, needs to be the main voice and the voice of worship and praise and thanksgiving, under which it's like a dome of protection. People can have shelter. And we plead in the worship, then we plead the blood of Jesus. We take communion. All of these are weapons of warfare. So I believe that God is bringing us into a season. The year 5780 is a year, I believe, God is upping our declaration, the power of what we declare is going to be new authority in our mouth, whatever we speak. So let's be wise about what we speak and speak anointed praise and worship. But it's the year of the gifted mouth, I would say. It's the mouth will be more gifted than ever before. So use it in a positive manner. Anyway, and I want to just set some agenda, a few things as we worship tonight even, is that we want to pray for God to bring wisdom and decision for Israel, even tonight. They are making this decision for a new government. I'm praying that one of the main guys that we pray for here, who we feel, again, it's a biblical agenda that we are taking, that God wants Jerusalem to be undivided capital of Israel. It's been promised in Scripture, and that's a prayerful decision. I just want you to know, I mean, sometimes say, Pastor, what does this mean? I know you wouldn't question in a negative way, but I need some light. And I would say it's because God has promised these scriptures that these are important. And so I want to continue to have walk so that our children will be blessed, that we'll be blessed, that we'll be a community that'll be in revival. I'm praying, and also the pathway for a great awakening. And as a little trick question, I would ask you, which nation, I will give you some enlightenment in a moment, but which nation has the greatest move of God and awakening right now? It's a trick question. And I will... Yeah, well, I told you I would give some enlightenment, but it's very exciting what I saw. But we are proclaiming a blessing on Israel and that Bibi Netanyahu, at least, the reason I am personally for that now, this is because he really is committed to Jerusalem being undivided, and that the territory that God has given and promised in Scripture for Israel, that nobody would come and steal and rob specifically this small amount. By the way, if you, and I bless every nation, I bless especially different people groups, and I bless the Muslim nations, I bless Arab nations. The Arab nations, the portions you count out is how much territory they have. They have, if Israel you would consider one part, multiply that, multiply it 60 times. So the Arab territory is 60. The value of Israel is one. And the 60 portion says, hey, one portion, we want your part too. And I said, what do you mean? You've got 60 portions already. Can't you do with that? You know, these people have only one portion and you want to steal that. That's just a comparison. Anyway, so the second part I want to say tonight, and I politically, I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher. I'm a man, a servant of God, a servant of the gospel. But from that perspective, then, those are my priorities. So, for example, what is on the heart of God? What burdens God? I would say, a nation that kills off millions of its babies per year is looking for some trouble with the Lord. God, if there is anyone pro-life, it's God the Father. And anytime a little baby is killed purposely, that it hurts the heart of God. And that we pray God will forgive. So in that context, that's important. It weighs for me over the years. Since way back in 1973, we have been praying, and I want to say totally that we, this ministry and this church, is pro-life. We are for the babies to live and not be massacred. And that's because God, that's how God feels. So we are, and in that context, then, for me, the Christian values are the most important thing. And we shall, I want a great awakening in our nation that we can all, the whole nation will turn to God. And may our, how many of you pray that when you, if you have children, may all your children love Jesus. Would you say that? And you don't, I mean, some of these are obvious, but we better stand firm in those things. Because even the, some of the last, I was listening to the news just before I came here, and there's a big movement right now. It started, and they were still talking about it on the news tonight, the first time I heard them talk, that there is, in Georgia right now, there's a big move to try to take prayer away from, you know how those sports games, all the football games, there's a big move to oust prayer from the football games. You cannot pray anymore. So these people who have been anti-Bible and anti-Christian, but they ousted prayer out of school decades ago. But now little things here, there, one of the things that I appreciate is any football game in America, most, as far as I know, they will start with prayer and nobody will object. Especially, I mean, in the high school football. Well, tonight they were discussing how they are ousting. And of all things, it was in Georgia. I don't have all the details, but they are making decisions so that prayer at football games will be ousted. Now, see, slowly, these, whatever we call it, these movements, they are stealing our freedoms. They're taking away all the freedoms. We believe in prayer. We believe that our children should be able to pray and have freedom. So all of these things, they are important. And that's why, for me, prayer, intercession is absolutely important. And the watch here is we focus. We are focused on, we are going to be praying, worshiping, prophesying. But that is, it's important for, I would pray that every church would pray and fast. And every church would be trained to be watchmen on the walls to pray and pull down strongholds. But when you see the reality of demonic spiritual forces very rampant across America, and that how we have been robbed from our freedoms, freedom of religion. We have been given that right by the Constitution of the United States of America. In that context, I just want to mention that I have found that, and I'm, you know, been familiar with history and study of politics, so when I'm, I love that subject. I mean, I will try to inform myself, but in that context, that President Trump has been, even though he is eccentric and he has got his quirks, that he is the most pro-life president in history. Even more pro-life, I've seen, than Ronald Reagan. It was really a good pro-life. But President Trump has, so I mean, he himself, I don't focus on his what he has done, what, but as far as his support for Christians and the church, he is the most supportive of that. If you as a pastor, you say, Pastor, President Trump, this is important to Christians, he will say, right on. Okay, we'll support this and the church. And so we are, in that context, we have had the most support from the White House. And he is the most pro-Israeli, which was an important thing for us because God says, I will bless those who bless Israel. So those are important positions for us. And so I wanted to speak this way because tonight, because there has been a greater attack from, and you can say wherever, politically, but I would consider this a spiritual force of the spirit of witchcraft. And you see it in the Bible. You can see in 1 Kings 19, the attack on Elijah. And how Jezebel, the spiritual force over him. If you ask me which is the most powerful power ministry in the Bible, Elijah would go up there right on the list of the most powerful guy before God, whose prayer, he would just pray and the fire would come from the sky. Not bad. And yet even he, perhaps the most anointed vessel as far as power and miracles is concerned, that he runs and hides in fear because a demonic spirit of witchcraft is attacking him. And Jezebel was one of the ultimate epitomes, symbolic of the spirit of witchcraft. So I believe that is spirit of witchcraft and Antichrist is actively right now been activated. We know the people who have the greatest authority. So you don't have to be afraid. I'm not telling this because you are the John Waynes of this movement. You have the six guns. Because you can name the name of Jesus and tell demonic things. You bow to the name of Jesus. No amount of policemen or military can make the demonic thing bow. But you, anointed of the Holy Spirit, believing in the name of Jesus, you have authority. Say, I have authority. So that's why here, this is one of the training schools to let you know and see that you walk in impartation and authority. Say authority. And we talk about exousia and dunamis. You have power and you have authority. And like the centurion said, by the way, I'm a man under authority, therefore I can say to this thing, go, and it goes. So you, every watch, of course, anytime you gather together as Christians, we are strengthened. You get stronger and stronger. That's why, for example, by the way, at these kind of sites, like all of these feasts that in the coming days we're going to recognize, part of the importance of this is like Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, the tradition, and it's in Scripture too, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, for example, that you are strengthened by being in community, that there are being together with others, you become stronger. And God has said, commanded that we get strong. People who get isolated, I feel bad for them because they need the shelter of spirit-filled church that prays and fasts and praise and worship is part of their package. So I had this... All right. I did want to mention that because for me, I just read this recently. In fact, think about a day ago. And I was so blessed and so excited. And I want to tell you, something is cooking. Something that we don't know all of it, but it is so much fun to realize what God is up to. So here is the title, and I think you got it. You will get a Twinkie. Whoever said, here is the title. Let me read it to you. Iran has world's fastest growing church. And it, fastest growing church is in a quotation mark. Despite no buildings, and it's mostly led by women. This is an article. We have prayed, if you remember in our watches, and we are not the only ones, many other people, but we have had prayer focuses, praying for Iran. And 40 years ago, and part of it was there are certain presidents, I don't want to be disrespectful, and I don't. But some, you just think, and I'm just speaking as a human being, you can say just like the gift of stupid is working tremendously in this man's life. And one of them, I encouraged at that time that I was just starting as a pastor, 1973-74. Jimmy Carter ran as president. And he was a good man. And I encouraged people to vote for him at that time, I remember. And then I said, talk about gift of stupid. I was dumb because he was a Christian, but all his positions were wrong. He was basically ended up being anti-Israel, ended up being very pro the Muslim movement of the Ayatollah Khomeini. I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk politics, but basically we had the king of Persia, the Shah of Persia, was very pro-American and pro-freedom, and he encouraged the movement so that the Shah of Persia was ousted, and the Ayatollah Khomeini, one of the most demonized leaders who wanted an Islamic revival across the world, really. And they made way for him to come. Anyway, one of the greatest nations who had one of the greatest cultures, it was the Cyrus, king of Persia, who was responsible for freeing the prisoners, the Jewish prisoners, and letting them come home. That's why we get the book, the Nehemiah and Ezra, because he, after 70 years captivity, Cyrus released them. That's the Persia. So they were used by God. Persia was, which is present-day Iran. But anyway, here is the article. A new film tells the story of the fastest, quote, fastest growing church in the world, an underground persecuted Christian movement in a country known for exporting radical Islamic terrorism. So right now, in Iran, or Persia, formerly known as, is the one of the fastest growing, revival is spreading. They said people in Iran, a Muslim majority nation, are fleeing Islam in droves as believers bow their knee to Jesus and become aggressively pro-Israel. Now, would you have ever believed that? According to the documentary Sheep Among Wolves, I would like to watch that. In fact, we might if we get hold of it, I would like to show it, portions of it here. What if I told you Islam is dead? One unidentified Iranian church leader says in the film, which was directed by Dalton Thomas and produced by Frontier Alliance International Studies Studios. So, some years ago, just now, personal thing, several years ago, I mean, this is when we had moved here, but this is, could be 15 years ago or so. But I was asked by an organization to come fly to Nashville, and that some studios were given to this organization, and they asked me to preach and teach whole bunch of teachings, almost all of my major library at that time of sermons that they said, we want to take this and translate it into Farsi, into the language of the Iranian people. And I said, sure, we'll do it. So, and they broadcast all of those. So this ministry and this church had part in sewing. And then another organization translated all our, a lot of our programs, the TV, Watch of the Lord programs that we showed on God TV, into Farsi and Arabic. So I am grateful. I'm excited. I did not know, I didn't have this information that Iranian church leaders say in the film that Islam is dead. What if I told you the mosques are empty inside Iran? He continues, what if I told you no one follows Islam inside of Iran? Would you believe me? This is exactly what is happening inside of Iran. God is moving powerfully inside of Iran. The pastor adds, what if I told you the best evangelist, I mean, in a weird way, stated, what if I told you the best evangelist for Jesus was the Ayatollah Khomeini? Because the Ayatollahs brought the true face of Islam to light and people discovered it was a lie. After 40 years under Islamic law, that's why I brought in Jimmy Carter, that was around that, a utopia according to them, they have had the worst devastation in the 5,000-year history of Iran. So Thomas calls the movement the Iranian Awakening. You remember, we have recall many times here, we have been praying for an awakening in America. Well, we are going to pray tonight thanking the Lord for the Iranian Awakening and praying, Lord, give us an awakening also. And then, you know, just all of this, I'll tell you another piece of, it tickled me so much. Named after the Bible verse, Matthew 10:16, sheep among wolves, which says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. The documentary claims Muslim background Iranians are leading a quiet but mass exodus out of Islam and bowing their knees to the Jewish Messiah with kindled affection toward the Jewish people. So they are turning to Jesus Christ and bowing to them and have sympathy. They are not enemies of Israel. They are friends and are speaking blessing on Israel. And one of the things I remember that this man, I who hosted this, you know, I mean, basically I was a teacher and he would translate for me in the Farsi programs for Iran. that he said one of the common things that he heard was the Iranians would literally get dreams, and Jesus would visit them. And it was such a common story that God, there is no way you can keep the message of Jesus down. You can persecute, you can do whatever, but Jesus himself will visit them and speak to them. And many of the Iranians were turning this way to the Lord. We know that if they get us, the first thing they will do to us as a woman, by the way, but the new believers in the Islamic Republic face great risk. We know that if they get us, that one of those, it's either later or now, that the main speakers, the main evangelists, the movement awakening is the women are leading this great awakening. We know that if they get us, the first thing they will do to us as a woman is rape us, and then they will beat us, and ultimately they will kill us. One believer said, this is the decision we have made, that we want to offer our bodies as sacrifices, because I have this thought when I wake up that when I leave that door, I might not come back. A leader of the Iranian underground church explains their goal is not planting churches, but rather making disciples, the majority of whom are women. So the movement is led a lot by the women who are leading this revival. Disciples forsake the world, cling to Jesus till he comes. Converts don't. The leader said, disciples are engaged in a culture war. Converts are disciples. Converts are disciples. And disciples cherish, obey, and share the word of God. Converts don't. Disciples choose Jesus over anything and everything else. Converts don't. Converts run when the fire comes. Disciples don't. And a pastor explains everything they do underground is built on prayer. We find people of peace through prayer. We even find locations through prayer, he says. Jesus has come in their dreams, or he has come miraculously in their lives. When we hear this, we know that Jesus has gone ahead of us. How about that? And this was in a regular news channel that they talked about this move of God among the people of Iran. So that's, we praise God for the year 45780. We welcome the new year. And this year, may God anoint our mouths with miracles, signs, wonders, that when you speak, chains will be broken. May God anoint each of us with the spirit of awakening and revival. May God give you prophetic words for people. May God anoint your words as you lay hands on the sick, and they will be raised up. May, as we pray, may all opposing dark forces be bowing to the name of Jesus. We have national obligations, which is right now. I have had some concern of the kind of atmosphere that we are seeing in Washington, D.C. It's like one of the nastiest spirits of division, and especially attacking the president in this way. There are several people, news observers, that say that we know, there are long-term commentators that said, we have been in this business all these years, we have never seen any president attacked like this. And for me, it's literally, I believe, that poison is a spirit of witchcraft, is a spirit of Jezebel and Antichrist. So one of the things we want to do tonight, and if you will do so, we need to lift President Trump up every day. because this is not regular attack. This is demonic for destruction of our nation. It's not, you know, we bless the president and personally and his family and pray for his safety. But this is just a spirit of poison coming out constantly against this one man. And therefore, we need to pray a supernatural dome of protection around this president, because he's pro-life, he's pro-Israel, he's pro-Christian, and his positions are just, I've seen them, the most favorable to the church and to believers in 50 years or so. I mean, Reagan was quite pro-church, but he wasn't as cognizant. I've never seen that many scenes where often over these last 2.5 years, whenever someone tells the president, we would like to lay hands on you and bless you, yes, here. And they've had, there are many situations where they are just, the whole family is open for prayer, but especially the president. So we want to bless him and pray for special protection. The reason I'm sharing this is Christians have authority to bless and to bind the demonic. You can do what others can't do. They may wish him well, but we have to go into battle with prayer for protection, and for our sake, for the future, for our nation, that for the future of our children and the education, for the future of our economy. That this man, there are, the more I've gotten informed, it's surprising how corrupt Washington, D.C. has been for the last 30, 40 years. Both, it's not just Democrat, not Republican, it's both wings. Until this president has turned a lot of things around. I'm just thinking, as we are wise prayer warriors, that more than, someone may have more accurate number, but I believe it was, I mean, like insane amount, 300,000 factories that were actively producing things in America were basically, because they can make it cheaper and make bigger profits, were pushed out to China and to Mexico. And so we have seen the scenario where millions of good, hardworking Christians, I mean, Americans, lost their jobs. They didn't have done anything. They were wanting to work. So this president has had the wisdom to start bringing these factories back. And so for all of these things, and there are many others, reason we need to consistently pray for our president. So tonight, we want to focus, number one, thank the Lord for the great move of God in Iran and pray God's supernatural protection for all the women and the men. But the women are pioneering this great awakening. It just tickled me. It's so good. Especially in an Islamic culture, which men, we are men, manly men, and whatever. In that, the least, the ones who most persecuted and most maligned, the women, are heading the revival, just like God. Praise God. We're going to pray for Israel, and then we pray they can form the government. By the way, two Fridays ago, is that right? Michael, you can correct me, but that's what we were watching and praying. Was it two Fridays ago? Huh? Tuesday, yeah. Two Tuesdays ago, we took pilgrims from America, and we had a watch right there at the Western Wall. Isn't that something? Right where so many saints have prayed. I mean, I got a fresh impartation this time as we were going all across. And that one of the times where as we were going, there were a few miles outside of Jerusalem, they said, and oh, by the way, there in that location, the house of Obed-Edom was there. It was when I was hosting Barry and Batya Siegel. We went there. I'll remember the name. But that's where the location, we ate there, right? About 25, 30 feet from the house of Obed-Edom. I said, that's not, boy, we're preached about Obed-Edom. That's where the Ark of the Covenant rested. Remember that? We preached about Obed-Edom. Well, Bonnie and I got to, and Sarah was with us, ate just right outside that village. And it's one of the highest number of Arab Christians live there. It's wonderful. Praise God. All righty. So, we praise you, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.